Well, welcome home for many of you that are returning to your home church and the rest of us that are here as guests. We thank you. Thank you for coming today and happy birthday. You know, 175 is kind of a big deal. Not many churches probably can say that they are celebrating their 175th anniversary, and we're so glad that you joined us. If you are a non-regular attender here, we'd love to get your information just so that we can know who you are and make sure we have your name down. There's a little card that says welcome on the top of it. If you'd fill that out and either leave it in the pew or stick it in the offering plate, that would be wonderful. The other reason we want to get your name is tradition here on anniversary Sundays. We take a picture, and we're going to have a church picture today as well. As you walked in, if you're new here, you saw maybe some of these pictures where on a rally day everybody has their photograph taken. So right after service, we're going to exit here. We're going to do this quick because it's a little chilly out there, but we'll just all file out that front door, and we have a photographer coming, and she'll help get us lined up. We'll use the steps and some chairs that we'll have set out there, and we'll have all of us set place there to have our picture taken. So, you know, the deal is you can't use the jump house. There's a bounce house out there. You can't use that until we get your picture taken, and yet, more importantly, you can't eat until we have a picture taken. So that'll probably speed things up a little bit to make sure that we have that photograph taken. That's for everybody. If you're here, you're in the picture. The last thing is that I want to encourage you to do, invite you to do, and challenge you to do is we are looking for stories about you and Pleasant Chapel. We'd like to know a little bit about how this church has affected you, how this has affected your spiritual life, how you've grown as a result of this. We want these stories, and what we're hoping to do with these stories, your personal stories, we want to take and compile them and then have like a commemorative book that would include some historical things about the church as well as your stories that would share in what this place has meant to you. So if you look on the back of your bulletin, there's a place for you to fill out. And we just would love to have that turned back into us so that we could do that. And then we'll make sure that you get a copy of everybody's story there. So would love to have you all complete that so that we can share that for all of us and then also preserve it for the church family 175 years from now that they could look back on 2019 and share in this day. So again, thanks for coming. We're glad you're here to worship Christ with us. And let us begin with prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for what you have done in this community through this church for the decades and decades that you have been at work here. We are thankful that we are privileged to be a part of this family and to take what you have started here 175 years ago and continue it on. We thank you for your Spirit being present here today. We'd ask, Lord, that what we would do right now, with our words, with our songs, with our laughter, with our conversations, that you would find great joy in that and you would be pleased in what we do as we worship you. In your name, amen.
The story is told of a young man who was preparing for a long trip. He told his friend, "I'm just about packed. I only have to put in a guidebook, a mirror, a microscope, a lamp, a telescope, a volume of fine poetry, a package of old letters, a few biographies, a book of songs, a sword, a hammer, and a set of books I've been studying. But you can't get all that into your bag," said his friend. "Oh, yes, I can," he replied. "Doesn't take that much room." With that, he placed his Bible in the corner of his suitcase and closed the lid.
Oh, opening praise song. It's found on page 57, Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. And let's stand as we sing that, please. Let's take this opportunity to say hello to each other this morning. Oh my goodness, look at all the kids. This is wonderful. Good morning, everyone. Are you having a good time yet this morning? Oh, there's even more kids. Terrific. Well, I'm going to tell you a story this morning about a lady whose name's Mrs. Hunter, and her mother calls her Deborah. I call her Debbie, and her husband calls her Darling. But this story isn't about just Debbie. It's about something she did, though. And when she had her garden last year, she had some beautiful gourds. And when she was done with them, she was a good gardener. She took them out and put them in a pile where they would just go away into the soil, which was a good thing. And next spring, Debbie planted her garden. All of a sudden, she looked over where those gourds had been, and there were plants coming up, beautiful vines coming up. And you know what they were? They were the gourds that Debbie had just placed on the ground last year. She really didn't plant them, but she just put them there, thinking that was what God would want her to do to take care of the earth. And those vines grew blossoms, beautiful yellow blossoms. And what do you think happened after the blossoms were gone? Debbie had beautiful gourds, lots and lots of gourds. And these are the seeds that are inside a gourd. See those? And they make lots and lots of new gourds. You see that? There's seeds in there. And Debbie never thought about that when she was doing something nice for God, taking care of his earth. But she had seeds, and they grew. And do you know what? You have God's seeds in your heart. And what those are seeds that do things good for people, things that are nice that God would have us do. Do you like, does it make you feel good when you are nice to somebody when they're sad? Or when you help somebody who's old and needs help across the street, or maybe needs a nice phone call, or when you come to church and talk to God, and when you are say, no, I'm not going to do that, when you know God wouldn't want us to do that, you know what you're doing? You're planting God seeds. You're showing other people what it is to love Jesus. And they may want Jesus in their heart too. And just like Debbie, she didn't plan to have all these beautiful gourds. And sometimes the beautiful things you do for God, you don't know how they're going to turn out. But he's promised us that if we do good things for him, something beautiful will have them happen out of that. So each of you remember, when you do something good, you're planting a God seed. And maybe that person you're doing that for will want to ask Jesus in their heart. And one of the biggest seeds you can plant is to tell a friend about Jesus. That's a big one. So you have lots of seeds to plant. You're just little. And you know what? This church has been planting seeds for 175 years. And look at our beautiful gourds out there this morning. All the people that are here this morning that maybe, and I think somebody helped plant a God seed with them. Just like I know you're going to plant God seeds when you leave here today. Let's have a prayer. And Debbie gave me lots of gourds, so I've got gourds for everyone and a sweet treat too. But let's pray first. Dear God, thank you so much for each one of these children and for the seeds they hold in their hearts. Help us not to be afraid to share our seeds with other people, and that your spirit will grow in us and in others too. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Story with you a couple weeks ago, if you were here. It's been longer than that. It's probably been a few months. But since 1844, there have been 60 pastors that have come through Pleasant Chapel. I'm the 60th one. Whatever that means, I don't know. I'm 60th. The average number of years that a pastor stayed at Pleasant Chapel was a little more than 2 years. We had a couple people stay 6, and one pastor stayed 9. But we had one pastor that stayed for 13 years at Pleasant Chapel. And he's here today. And I asked him if he would come and share a little bit about the heritage of Pleasant Chapel. Reverend Marvin Grooms.
Thank you very much. When I came here in 03, they told me that this was the only church with a brick privy. Did you know that? Brick privy. Well, I notice in the future that Pastor Joel has for the future church 175 years from now. If you look, there's a privy. So I guess we don't change some things. When you came in this morning, what was the sign that you saw on the entrance? What? United Brethren. Okay. We celebrate 175 years, but we go back to the beginning of the nation. Francis Asbury was a Methodist. Otterbein was United Brethren. And they decided, at least the United Brethren, for almost the first 100 years, they spoke German. And they reached out to German immigrants, whereas Methodists reached out to English speaking. And Methodists were the first to go to George Washington and pledge their allegiance and their allegiance to the Constitution of the United States and to George Washington, that they would back him and the new nation. In the United Brethren Church, there's several people that are outstanding. One of them comes from my hometown, Dayton, Ohio. Dayton, Ohio had a man by the name of Bishop Wright. Bishop Wright in the 1890s. And he had two sons and a daughter. The daughter was Catherine. The two sons were Wilbur and Orville. And one time, he even said to his sons, "Now, if God really wanted you to fly, God would have put wings on you." Well, these boys proved it differently in Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, in December 1904, when they flew for the first time 120 feet. 120 feet. They were so pleased that they sent to their sister, Catherine, this telegram that they flew for 120 feet and that they would be home for Christmas. Well, Catherine was so excited, she went down to the Journal Press and showed it to the editor, to which the editor said, "How interesting, the boys are going to be home for Christmas." Sometimes we miss the big news. Well, Pastor Joel asked those of us who are talking, ask us about our impression and as we saw the church. The church is on two journeys. We're on one journey that is inward. Our own devotion, our own desire to serve Christ. As Methodists, we make a pledge to five things. One, we pledge to attend as regular as possible. Two, we say we will support what the church is doing, not only in the local church, but outside. Three, we will pray for one another. Four, we will give in service. And five, we will witness of our faith and what it means to us. And so that's the second, the inward journey and the outward journey. For we don't live to ourselves, we are to live for one another. And so I think of people in this congregation who cared. I think of them who care for Habitat. I think of Kermit and Linda years ago and their support of Heifer Project and my own interest in the children's home in Lebanon. There's a lot of people here that care not only for their inward journey, but for their outward journey. So I'm going to invite you to sing a song that I think is so appropriate today, and we need here. I want you to join with me. We're going to sing, "Jesus Loves the Little Children." Will you sing it with me? Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world.
I surrender all to sacred flame. Oh, the joy of full salvation, glory, glory to His name.
Father, we just thank You for Your great giving to us. You are so merciful in what You give to each and every one of us here. We, with generous hearts, now give back to this church in order that the ministries that this church supports would be an outreach of You and Your love. May those in need in our community and throughout the world use what has been given today in order that Your light may be known. Hear us now as we would pray as one family Your prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
My vision.
out of my home. I found my peace. I found my home. I found my home. I found my peace. I found my home. I found my home.
This quite possibly might be a little shorter sermon today. Don't applaud yet, but I had several illustrations here I wanted to share with you of how poorly I was treated by my siblings when I was young, but my brother showed up, so I'm going to have to scratch all those. Raise your hand, John, so everybody knows. You guys give him a hard time when you get him in here, so we'll save some of those stories for another time when I have no family members here. But no, thanks, John and Jill, for coming. That means a lot. Okay. Sure, he's got some stories that he could share as well. You know, we come here today and we're going to talk a little bit about connections. So I'm going to use the word connections and connecting quite a bit here. And you think about what we've done so far today and what we are considering this kind of special day. You know, we go back and we think about the humble beginnings that this church and this place had. It started in a cabin. It started in a cabin just a little bit down the road here across from the cemetery 175 years ago. And today we'll also marvel at pictures. There's some pictures in the back, and when you're downstairs you'll see pictures of black and white images of people who were here so long ago and they sat in the same pews as you and I are doing today. And we've heard Pastor Marvin take us back a little bit and talk about heritage and what is most true about our journey, our inward journey, and our outward journey as well. And no doubt we think about saints who have come before us that we would have known, that were part of this church family and have either have moved on or we've since passed. And we think about those people who came before us, and we think deeply about what was it that was so important. What was the essence of this place that has sustained this place for so long? What is it that remains true? What is the real reason of Pleasant Chapel? And so, yeah, we do that. We do go back and we think about the past. There's a passage that we've been working on here for the last several weeks that comes from the book of Philippians that Paul writes. And in there, in chapter 3 of verse 13, he says, "Beloved, I do not consider that I've made it on my own yet. I'm not arrived. I haven't made it. But one thing I do is I forget what lies behind and strain forward to what lies ahead." Now, when he says that he disregards that which is behind him, or he forgets which is behind him, that doesn't mean he's forgetting all the heritage of the faith story. That's not what that means. He's talking about his past and how he had messed some things up. And that's what he's saying that we forget. But he maintained the faith story that God had throughout time and how God chose a people that he was a part of. And that was going through transition when Paul writes this, because it's moving from the Old Testament, the law ways, to the New Testament, the new covenant, and that which is Christ. And he said, "I press on to this new thing." But that doesn't mean he forgets his heritage and where God was at work in the past. But he talks about pressing on to something that is yet to come into the future. And we consider that today as well. We think about the future of this place. And that's why I had Addie come and speak, because she was this representative voice of someone in the future that is going to be here and be part of this church for a longer period of time than a lot of us will be. And she spoke about hope. She used the word hope a lot about this church. Hope that a church just isn't, Pleasant Chapel isn't a place that's merely surviving, but it's a church that thrives into the future, where our children's children can come and find this place to connect with a family, a family that is bound together by their love for God. A place where weddings and baptisms and the celebrations of life still continue. That's hope for a future. This hope for a future, that very essence, the very reason for which this place is to be. How that hope and that very reason was expressed years ago, and that hope is being expressed today. We hope that that essence of this church will be front and center for all the things that we do from here on. And so, yeah, we think about the past, and we also think about the future. And so the challenge, I believe, for us is to how do we make the connection between this rich heritage of the church, this very truth about what this church is about and what those saints that have long gone before us stood for, how do we make that connection to our future? How do we continue to project and continue this trajectory of what Pleasant Chapel really is all about? And I think that's our challenge. Our challenge in this present time is to make this connection between the past and the future. I think at the heart of what we do and how we make that, it is again about connecting people to Christ, to God. I think that's what this church has done in the past. I think that's what she continues to do today, and I believe that is what the church will be doing in the future. Helping people foster a relationship that individuals will have a relationship with God and then respond to Him in a way that helps turn a dark world into one that is bright and promising. For people of God, for those people who are followers of Christ, we also have a past and a present and a future, if you think about this. If you think about us in our walks, there was this time of what we were, what we used to be, and who we would identify or who we would say we are now, and what it is that we hope to become in the future. I think this place is about that. In 1844 and in 2019 and somewhere in the distant future, it is about telling this story about past, present, and future. How has God worked in people's lives then and now and in our lives? How is it that God worked in our past, and how is He working in our lives now and for what purpose in the future? We've all had that. We have all had a past, and it is this simple message of the gospel that I think oftentimes we got to review. All of us had a past. It was a before Christ time. It was then. And it was then that we were very far from God. One of the great truths of, and it's a mystery that is part of our faith, is that we were all far from God, we were in a bad place, and we were set for a terrible future. And it's sin that keeps us from God. And that was true for all of us. It's true for anybody that is a human being that is without Christ. But there is good news. The good news is that Jesus came and He was here to remedy that bad situation. He came to make that which is bad good, and He came to make dead people alive. Probably the most popular verse of the Bible is John 3:16, and we know it so well. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son so that everyone who believes in Him may not perish, but may have eternal life. And we got to make sure that we don't overlook that which is assumed there. Yeah, it is good news. We call this good news, for God so loved the world that He came. But in order for there to be good, there must have been something bad. And so what's in that verse that you need to understand, that there were people that were going to perish. That was you and I. Before Christ, we were going to perish. The verse talks about eternal life. There must be something other than eternal life with God that this verse speaks towards. There's something here that is life without purpose that this verse again speaks to. And that's what is assumed. That is good news, great news, what John tells us there that Christ spoke about. God so loved the world that he sent his son for us, that we may live if we believe. And there's something other than what it is that we see. Someone other who came to fix this. You and I cannot fix this dilemma that we're in. Christ came to resolve that which wasn't good, given by God for you and me. That's the good news. That's the past, present, and future for all people that trust Christ. In there is where we were. In a nutshell, we were lost and doomed and set for destruction. But Christ came and we received that, which gives us a presence and a life and a future to look forward to. That is the real purpose and the real meaning of what church is about and what it is that we ought to do. Everything we do, I believe, as a church ought to be about that, connecting people to that story and to that truth about past and present and future. Everything we do ought to at least be about introducing people to that good news for the first time. Or if it's not that, it's providing the space and the place for people to continue on that journey to where their discipleship can get more enriched and where they can connect more deeply with God to live a life that is fulfilling and pleasing to him. And I think that's why we party, and I think that's why we rejoice, because we are people of this good news now, right now. And we are in this process, on this journey that Marvin talked about. This is who we are. This is the heart of our very identity. And I believe when you and I more fully appreciate that, who we were before Christ and what he has promised for us in the future, the more fully we live our lives now for the greatest potential that we could have. I think that's why we celebrate today. I think that's why pigs sacrifice their lives so that we could have pulled pork sandwiches here in about a half an hour. That's why we party. That's why we do, because we are a people saved by God for his good works. We're loved by him. We're forgiven. We are perfected. And we are saved for a paradise yet to come. That's you and I. We have been made perfect. We are saints. Saints in the making, no doubt. But he did this work for us. Yeah, we should party and we should celebrate that. We are those people saved for some awesome time yet to come. But yet we are to live out awesome lives now as we participate in kingdom work. Work that is about doing this connection, connecting people to God through Christ. Now listen, this is not the work of the guy that stands in the pulpit. That's not just the person who stands there. There was a time where people put a lot of emphasis on the pastor or the priest. He's the one that's supposed to know the Bible and do this and evangelize and do all those things. That's not today. Let me share a verse for you that comes from 1 Peter that says this. It says, but you. Now, in the Indiana translation, it'd say, y'all. And that's for you all. You all are a chosen race. This is for you and me. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Y'all, you and me, are that royal priesthood. We're all priests. I called you perfected, I called you saints, and I called you priests. You go to work and you share that tomorrow with people, that that's what I learned at church. I'm a saint, I'm a priest, and I have been made perfect because it's true. But that work is to be done, not just by pastors, not just by priests, but by all of us. That is our business, connecting people with this saving, awesome grace that comes only through Christ. We're all part of this integral and important component of God's kingdom that's being built here and now for the future. Helping people who are far from God now connect so that they are drawn close and that they have a hope of an everlasting life in his presence. That's why we rejoice. I think that's why we praise. I think that's why we live the way we do. What he has been doing here has been awesome the last 175 years. But I believe that there's much, much more to come. And I believe what he has in place for this place tomorrow is nothing short of remarkable. Let's get to work. Would you pray? Father, we praise your name for this church and what you have continued to do through the people here. We thank you for the comfort that you have given us through times of difficulty. We thank you for the many joys that have come as a result of people coming closer to you through this church and this place. Father, I pray through your Spirit that you would empower us to not just survive, but to be a church that thrives into the future. And may all we do and say and act out bring you great glory. Amen.